Missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." What sacrifices are you and I willing to make for what we believe? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, calling us to put our plans in the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about God's refusals are His mercies. I told you the story in my last talk about how Amy Carmichael, a missionary to India, when she was only 3 years old, had prayed that God would give her blue eyes. And the next morning when she looked in the mirror, she found that God had not changed those brown eyes to blue. She didn't remember whether some adult said these words to her or whether it was God Himself, but in some way, the words came into her mind, "Isn't no an answer?" And I want us to remember that when we pray, we are making a request. And sometimes the answer is no. What Amy Carmichael could not have known when she was only 3 years old was that later on she was going to be a missionary to India. She was going to dress as an Indian, and there would be times when it would be extremely important that she pass for an Indian. She could never have passed for an Indian with blue eyes. So if I were to ask you the question, does prayer work? Somebody might say to me, well, sometimes, for some people, maybe when God's in a good mood, when people have enough faith. Now, what do we mean by work? Usually what most of us mean when we say, well, my prayers didn't work, means that we didn't get our way. But one of the most important things to remember when we pray is to whom we come. In Psalm 147, verses 3 and 4, we read, "It is He, the Lord, who heals the broken in spirit and binds up their wounds. He who numbers the stars one by one and names them one and all." If you ever have any doubt whether your broken heart or your little wounds can possibly be of any concern to God Almighty who numbers the stars and names them one and all, go back to Psalm 147 and read that verse, those two verses, 3 and 4. The one who numbers the stars, the one who made the stars, the one who keeps the galaxies in harmony, the one who created the hinge on the lid of a spider's eye, He is the one to whom we come when we pray. The one who controls the atom. My mind boggles when I try to imagine either microscopic smallness or the immensities of space. But I'm always fascinated by anything that helps me to imagine those things. I came across a statement recently that gave me some idea of the size of an atom. It said, take a teacup, and if you turn every atom in the tea, which that teacup would contain, into a grain of sand, the sand would cover the state of Texas to a depth of 50 feet. Do you want me to go over that again? Take the atoms that would fit into a teacup, make every one of them into a grain of sand. They would cover the state of Texas to a depth of 50 feet. You think about the God who created the atom. It will help you, I would hope, to enlarge your perspective. What if the God who is in charge of the movements of the stars and the dance of the molecules said yes to everybody's prayers? Just think of such a common thing as praying that it won't rain. One person prays that it won't rain, one person prays that it will. Can God say yes to everybody's prayers? What if He had said yes to Jesus in Gethsemane? Jesus said, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." The answer was no. Some of our silly prayers. Think back over some of the things that you've prayed for. Some of you women may remember some of the boyfriends that you just thought were, I don't know whether anyone out there is old enough to remember when we called them dream boats, but I can remember calling guys dream boats. And I prayed when I was in the seventh grade that a certain guy named Bob Held would ask me for a date. Can you imagine? Well, he never asked me for a date, and suppose some of the other guys that I thought were very interesting when I got a little bit older, maybe up to marriageable age, had asked me, and I had fallen for them. We do pray a lot of very silly things. They don't look silly at the time, do they? I remember Billy Graham telling about his first love affair, and when he became a Christian, he realized that that girl had to go. So that girl went. But he said, you know, it was a tough experience. And people said, oh, well, it was only puppy love. But Billy said, yes, but it sure was hard on the puppy. And some of those silly prayers, of course, look very serious and very important to us at the time. But God, in His mercy, says no. Some of God's greatest mercies are His refusals. Number one, He refuses to answer our prayers in the way that we want them answered, for the sake of others. When Paul had a thorn in his flesh, he prayed three times that God would remove it. God's answer was no. My grace is sufficient for you. Now, there are two reasons, at least, why God said no there. It was for Paul's own spiritual growth, that he might learn that God was sufficient, that His grace was sufficient. But what has that one little verse done for millions of others? I'm one of them. How many times I have gone back to those simple words, my grace is all you need. So Paul had to endure that thorn, whatever it was, for my sake. A second reason why God says no is for your own sake, the sake of the person who does the praying. He loves you too much to give you what you think is bread, but what He knows is a stone. To whom do you come? What is your relationship to Him? You're a child coming to a father. He knows far better than the child does what the child needs. When we pray, lead us not into temptation, God knows that some of the things that we have also prayed for would turn out to be sorrows, snares, or disasters. And so when we ask, lead us not into temptation, in order to answer that prayer, He has to say no to other prayers. For our sake, He says no because of His mercy and because of His love. And the third reason that He says no is for His own glory. In Numbers, the 20th chapter, verse 12, we read, But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, You did not trust me so far as to uphold my holiness in the sight of the Israelites. Therefore you shall not lead this assembly into the land which I promised to give them. You may remember that the context of that verse was where Moses was told to speak to the rock in order to provide water for the children of Israel. And Moses raised his hand and struck the rock twice with his staff. It worked, but he had disobeyed God. The Lord said that He had not trusted him so far as to uphold His holiness. The glory of God was at stake, and Moses paid a terrible price for that disobedience. Later on, he said, Lord, Thou hast begun to show to Thy servant Thy greatness and Thy strong hand. What God is there in heaven or on earth who can match Thy works and mighty deeds? Let me cross over and see that rich land which lies beyond the Jordan and the fine hill country of Lebanon. But the Lord's answer to that prayer was no. Sometimes we're asking for our own sake, for our own glory. We're praying, Lord, my will be done, my program, my agenda, my list. And God, in His mercy, God, in His love for us, His children, says no. It's a hard lesson, isn't it? Many, many, many times I've had to learn that lesson of accepting God's refusals. But if we can remember that He has good reasons, for the sake of others, for your own sake, for the sake of His glory.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.